Well, as I said, today's kind of the conclusion of our Beatitude series, our blessing series, and the whole point of that, as I pointed out at the beginning, is it's, you know, this little mini sermon Jesus gave to his followers with the crowd in the distance. He was summarizing the biblical teaching that goes all the way back to Abraham, if not before, that God has loved humanity, God has blessed humanity so that we can bless each other. And so Jesus went through this litany of different ways that God blesses us, and then in turn, you know, with the crowd, with the world in view, just beyond the gathered followers, it's go now and bless them in my name. So today, as I said, he's going to give three pictures, three images or metaphors for what it means then to go be a blessing. The first is right there in verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." So salt is the first image. And he says, if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? I don't know if you've heard that before, but if you have, I don't know if you've ever really thought about it. I've had just enough high school chemistry to know that salt is salt. It doesn't lose its taste. It, you know, if you break apart, was it sodium chloride, NaCl? The only way to make it not salt is to break that apart. If it's NaCl, it's salt, and it will taste like salt. And I think they would have known this back there. I think what Jesus was saying was this: you are salt. Salt is meant to be used, kind of like the whisper light again, right? The only way for salt to not do its salty thing is if you set it aside and don't use it, right? It's used as a preservative or as a flavoring. It becomes ineffective only by not using it. And so he's applying that to our lives as his followers, right? He says, you're salt, right? If you follow me, you are going to salt the earth. You're going to do what you were made to do. The only way to defeat that created purpose is to not do it at all. It's back to the children's song, second verse, right? Hide it under a basket? No, right? Set the salt in the pantry, it stops being salt. Now we're going to set aside the whole, you know, cholesterol, health, whatever, bad for your heart. They use salt to preserve things, to season things. And his point here is God made you to be used, to flavor the earth with Jesus. Again, as our texters told us, to share and to show Jesus. And the only way to lose that purpose, that saltiness, is to not do it at all. He's going to say something. Well, let me say this too. I don't know if this is a regional thing from where I grew up in South Carolina or if it's everywhere, but we tend to think of salt as a noun, but at least in my family growing up, it was a verb. You salt your food, right? You throw the salt at it. That's the verb form. I don't know if that's right or not, but it's something you do. And we talk about salting the roads, I guess. I wish we could capture a little bit of that with the word Christian, right? We treat it as kind of an inert noun, and it's easy to take that identity and just stick it in our pocket. Like, I have the light, I have the salt, I don't need to do anything with it, I have it, right? But Jesus' portrayal of what it means to be his followers is a verb, right? We are to be followers, we're to be disciples, we're to go. That's in the Great Commission, right? Go and disciple the world, teaching them, baptizing them. So that idea of we are salt and our purpose as such is to salt the earth by showing and sharing Jesus. He goes on to a second image in verse 14, similar but different image. It's that of light. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now, you may be confused by thinking, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. It says that somewhere, and it does. In the first chapter of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It goes on to say, Jesus, God sent a light into the world, and the light was the life. No, in him was life, and the life was the light of humanity. It is true. Jesus is the first light. If you can think back to Christmas Eve services when we have the Advent wreath, and the last candle we light on Christmas Eve is the Christ candle, right? And we turn down all the electric lights, and then by that one Christ candle, we light all of our little candles. That's the image. We are lights for the world because Jesus is the first light and we are his followers. So it's fair for him to say to us, you're the light of the world because of me. And then he goes on to say, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. The particular thing he's describing there, if you can imagine first century life, they didn't have electricity. When it got dark, the only way to light the room was with a lamp, an oil lamp or whatever, you know, light was available. And I actually experienced what he's describing here maybe a month or two ago. The power went out at our house and it was night. And so we got out candles and a few flashlights. And the most effective way with that, you know, those small points of light to light the room was to put them up high, right on top of the mantle, on top of a bookshelf, because they cast the most light that way. Wouldn't do any good to stick them down on the floor. You know, we just would have had a little floor light. That's what Jesus is saying. If you have light and you need to illumine a room, you don't hide it under a basket or tuck it away somewhere. You put it up high. You put it on a lampstand so it will illuminate. He's saying that's how it is with the blessing challenge, right? You've been blessed with me, with my light. And if you're going to go then bless the world, you don't just kind of tuck it away or give little peaks of light. You go shine brightly. Hold me up high, he says, so that you might bless the world. And he says that in verse 16, let your light shine in such a way that the world may see your good works and through them see the Father in heaven. The third image he gives is tucked right in the middle of that verse 14. After he says, you're the light of the world, he says, you are also a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Back in the first century, the best, safest, most secure city was one up on a hill because it was defensible. Jerusalem is the perfect example because it's up on a hill, and then on several sides, there's actually a valley. So you have the valley, the city on a hill, and city walls. It's the best, most safe and secure way to set up a city. You also can see it from far away because it's so prominent. But the point wasn't to hide the city. It was to be a strong city. And he's saying, like that, don't hide away your faith, your following of me, your discipleship. But he's kind of doubling up that put it on a lampstand thing. It's be like, the city of Jerusalem. It can be seen for miles around. Let your faith be like that. And this is a good place to say, not so that people will see you and think, oh, what a great Christian you are. But it's that last verse, let your light shine, be the city on the hill in such a way that in seeing your works, people are drawn to God, drawn to God the Father who is in heaven. So each week of this series, and we'll end this today, I've given a blessing challenge. And we've been fairly specific as we walk through the Beatitudes of mercy and righteousness and pure in heart and those kind of things. I want to end with a broader one and say the pattern has been to challenge you to go home on Sunday and pray to God to see the ways in which God has blessed you. And then over the course of the week, ask God to show you and give you opportunities to bless others. And I want to end with that broad blessing because that's just what Jesus is talking about today. If you trust in and follow Jesus Christ, you have the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. And Jesus' invitation then for you who are blessed in all those ways by the presence of Christ in your life is to go be a blessing to others, to shine the light, to salt the earth, to be public about your faith, and to end back up with our the youth of the church and the young adults of our church. We do that by sharing and by showing in word and in deed who Jesus is to the world that needs to hear. May God cause this word to take root and to grow and to show in our lives. Amen.